Hey, listeners, I'm talking about a topic today that is hot right now. Remote learning and STEM instruction. How are we going to do this?
Welcome to the iHeart STEAM podcast with your host, Bonnie Kirkley. Bonnie has been working in the STEAM education profession for the past 12 years. Her mission is to share her story with educators like you that love STEM, STEAM, and project-based learning. Currently, she works with a team of educators creating the ultimate STEAM-certified school. Let her share the good, the bad, and the joyful with you in her STEAM journey. Learn everything you will ever need to know about STEM and STEAM education right here. Now, here is your host, Bonnie Kirkley.
All right, listeners, I will have to admit to you that I have been absent for a couple of weeks. I actually did get to go on a vacation to the beach. We practiced social distancing and we enjoyed the sunshine and we enjoyed getting out and walking around and just being out at the ocean, which is one of my favorite places to be. But I am back and I keep seeing this pop up everywhere because this is what's on our minds right now. What is school going to look like for the 2020-21 school year? So, I see it everywhere. STEM, STEAM, how can this be done in a remote learning format? Many states have already decided to start the school year off, and even some states have said that all the way through fall, they're going to be remote learning. Other states have committed to both, giving the parent an option. Some states have said we are opening no matter what. But I think the only one thing that we do know is that virtual learning, remote learning, distance learning, whatever you want to call it, it is here to stay. And what I'm saying is that even when hopefully things get back to a normal setting, all of those things that we've implemented are still going to be there. So remote learning is here to stay. Teachers have discovered things that they didn't know that they could do before through all of this. We have gotten better at using tech and delivering lessons and assignments and instruction through to students digitally. And that's great because what can happen now, we can deliver a schedule to students of what is to come, and we don't have to spend so much time in the classroom focusing on content and skills, unless maybe it's in like an individualized or group setting. We can push those lessons out there ahead of time and give students the flexibility to read the information, find out what they need to know. They can come into class now with questions. Now, I'm not saying that every student's going to do that, but I do believe that it's here to stay because through these platforms that we've been using, Zoom, Google Meets, Google Classroom, Seesaw, I've heard of so many others. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Flipgrid. Through all of those platforms, we can carry on a conversation with our students when they leave. And that is amazing because it gives us more time to connect, more time to offer what we know and allow them to question us and keep thinking. And that's what we want to do. So it gives us more time in the classroom really to get down to the meat of things. But saying that, I keep hearing, how can you do STEM through distance learning? And I do realize, especially there are a couple of things that do really concern me thinking that they will be difficult. Well, for one, when you think about the elementary setting of STEM or STEAM, you know they have so many little tiny manipulatives. and you're concerned about them not having those at home. And then as you move up through the middle school, sometimes even upper elementary and high school, they get into robotics and more complicated things that require lab equipment, electronics, and those things. If they're at home, how can we offer those things to them? So I have a mini solution for that, but I have 9 tips that I want to share with you today that will help you continue to deliver STEM or STEAM instruction to your students. And the best part about this is when you think about STEM or STEAM instruction, you need to always let the 4 C's be your guide: critical thinking, creativity, communication, and collaboration. So if you apply that to remote learning, distance learning, virtual learning, we can communicate, we can collaborate, we are having to think critically because it's a whole new format, so we're thinking a lot about how it works. And the creativity right now, if you're a teacher and you haven't had to get creative yourself on how to deliver lessons, man, you're lucky. But if you remember those 4 things, you can do STEM. It might not look like it normally does, but it can be done. Nobody ever says you can't do something. You should never let anyone say, I can't do this, I can't, because we can. We just have to think differently. And that's what STEM and STEAM are all about. Think it differently. So with that said, let me give you some of my tips. So tip number 1, the first thing that I would like to encourage you to do, and you should do this even if you're not STEM or STEAM, is create an at-home survey for parents and students to fill out about what is available to them. What do they have? So if you're a STEM teacher or STEAM teacher, whichever, think about what you normally use in the classroom the most. Think about the supplies that are needed and put those on a list. I would also ask parents, are you able to get XYZ? If you're, you know, this is for you to know what they have and what they don't have and find out how you can get them what they don't have, or to find out what you can use in the lessons you're going to deliver because they have it at home, or what you might need to completely eliminate because it may be an expensive resource. There's no way to get it out to them, and it's just not worth trying to use that resource. I would put as many questions as I could on there that you feel comfortable asking, of course. You know, this is not to say, find out, are you ready? Are you able to have a at-home classroom for your child? This is just information for you to help you deliver your lessons and create your lessons. So, number 1, start with an at-home survey. All right. Number 2, I would encourage you to continue to encourage your students to have a STEAM journal in a written format, a place where they can journal their thoughts, a place where they can collect data, a place where they can do drawings and label. And I would have one myself so that I can model and show my students what I'm collecting data on. You know, when you're working through the design processes, it should be in the journal. So I would encourage you to do this. So even if you have a virtual classroom, let's just say Google Slides, you may have a table set up on there for them to collect data, but I would encourage you to let them write it down first, show them how to do that so that when they go to their Google Classroom lesson, they actually input data. Because you know what? This is what our scientists and engineers and technology experts and mathematicians, a lot of them work this way in the field. They're out in the field, and some of them do have technology like iPads and certain apps on their smartphone that allows them to collect data, but many of them still take observations, write down data, and then come back and organize it in a digital spreadsheet. So This is a skill that we can teach through this. So have that STEAM journal at home. And that is something I know that teachers buy supplies all the time. That is something I'd be willing to purchase for all of my students that I had coming into my classroom in the next year. It's just a little marble composition notebook, but I'm sure your school system would probably still purchase it. I'm sure there's a place that's giving out teacher school supplies and you can get a hold of those real easily. Next, when you create a project, because I believe the heart of STEM and STEAM instruction is project-based learning, it allows for you to make the connections between all of those areas in one project. When you create projects or STEM challenges for students to do, consider using trash like toilet paper rolls, paper towel rolls, bottle caps, water bottles, any kind of container, lids, bags like plastic Walmart bags, grocery store bags, all of those things. And you know what? They may not start with a collection of those. So that might be your very first project, is to have them begin collecting these items at home. And through that, you can teach recycling, reusing, conservation. You can teach all of those things. So that's a project within itself. And hopefully that develops into a habit and your students continue to do this even after this is over. So you can come up. There are so many resources out there with projects that use these items. Do that. Next, tip number 5, and this is one of my favorites. So if you're using some piece of equipment or let's say a garden, you're trying to grow something and have your students collect data on it, a compost bin, a robot, whatever it is, you be the hands of the experiment and introduce the equipment to the students virtually. Tell them all about it. They can show them the websites where they can go and read about it. Ask them, you know, if it's something like a garden, ask them. And the parents, that might be one of the supplies. Do you have potting soil, a small planter, and some seeds available to you? And if they don't have the seeds, you can certainly send those in the mail. But you be the hands of the experiment when they don't have something available to them. And you let them create, come up with the ideas, create surveys to poll the class, and let them make the decisions. And all you do is do what they tell you to do. And then you can take pictures for them if they're not able to monitor it all the time. You can, as a class, when you're meeting virtually, take a look at it, collect some data. But you just be the hands and you don't make any of the decisions. So when they don't have something available, they're going to love treating you like a computer, because that is what I'm telling you should do. They are going to input data into you to make you work for them. So you be the hands when they can't have the equipment right there in front of them. Next, saying that, you be the hands, and that brings this up, and this is not actually one of my tips, but some of the best projects that you can do right now are coding. Code.org has so many things on there for free and at your fingertips. This is the perfect time to create projects all around coding. Scratch is online. Scratch Junior is on their iPads. They just have to download it. So if they have those things available to them technology-wise, you can do coding projects. Anyway, on to tip number 6. Get creative with your project topics. Think about the topics that you normally do to teach your science standards, your math standards, whatever it is, and try to see if you can flip it to an at-home project. So let's say you're studying electricity or water. You know, you could have them count how many light switches are in their home. You can have them collect data on their house. You can have them collect data on the types of food that they eat for meals. you know, and what out of this food came from a plant, what came from an animal. So you can still teach all those standards, but try to make it like an at-home project. You know, all those at-home projects you've sent home that required them to ask questions at home, and a lot of times half of them got done and half of them didn't. Make those your projects now because they are at home. So all of those things that we send home as extra support and projects for students to enjoy can now be your projects, and they don't have to do it as something extra. So think about the home life and apply your standards to it. If you're teaching force and motion, you know, what kind of physical things can they do at home? What moves in the house? Let's see, I'm sitting in a moving chair right now. The recliner, everybody has a recliner. How does the recliner work? What moving parts are working in the recliner? So start thinking about what's at home for your project topics. Next, tip number seven. And tip number seven is kind of a combo. I'll tell you this to start off. Plan at least 2 weeks, but I would say 4 weeks out. So you've got a project you want to do. Think about each week and what step you're going to be in within that project of your design or investigation. So are you using the design process? Are you using the engineering design process? Are you using some kind of investigation process like claim, evidence, reasoning, or the scientific method? Plan it all out. Send them the calendar so they know what's coming. And if you plan your projects out, and if you could go ahead and think of upcoming projects, that gives you the time to reach out to STEM and career experts that can help with the project, give more instruction than you can, and you have time to get them into your virtual class as a guest and get students fired up. So you're talking, let's say your kindergarten class is looking at living and non-living, because that's a big topic for kindergarten. Wouldn't it be so fun to have the veterinarian join you in your Google class meet while he's doing a pet examination? And you don't have to go to the vet's office because that's not recommended right now through field trips, but get them to join in with you. The problem is their schedules. They have tight schedules and it has to coordinate with yours. So if you get that calendar planned out, you give yourself a chance to invite lots of guests. And most of us have not started back as of yet. We're in July. Now is the time to reach out to as many as you can think of. Veterinarians, farmers are really busy, but you can still reach out to them. Extension offices, engineering companies, builders. There are so many people that you can reach out to. And don't think that it has to be someone that's very, very high up on the totem pole that probably has a really, really big, busy schedule. You can think of, you know, jobs that require smaller, less heavy schedules, but that also incorporate elements of STEAM to invite, and they would love it. Because really, there is no job out there that I can honestly think of that there's not some element of STEAM incorporated into it, but they all have the four C's: collaboration and communication. And so invite them, invite their parents. Find that's something that you could ask in the survey if they're willing to answer it. Find out if they are experts in anything. Find out if they have any special talents for building or special hobbies. Find out what they do at work and would they be willing to join virtually, because just about everybody has 5 to 10 minutes to log in virtually and join a group of kindergartners or a group of fifth graders in some cool project. So perfect time to reach out now, plan ahead. Planning ahead will help you be more successful, because if you're thinking of it the week before, chances are it's going to be you by yourself. Chances are you won't be prepared with the materials. They won't be prepared with the materials that you could have had time to collect. And chances are you'll get real lucky to get a guest. Let me get a sip of water. Whew. It is hot in South Georgia. It's almost like 100 degree. It's not 100 degrees, but I know the heat index is like 104. Oh, it's hard. Next, tip number 8. Data can still be collected around the house, and I've mentioned that. You know, they can still monitor when the sun comes up and when the sun goes down, and they can monitor, you know, a great thing would be to monitor their power bills and what their air conditioners are set on, how many people are watching TV. There's tons of things around the house that they can collect data on. Many of them have pets. Not all of your kids are going to have pets, but could a pet be something that you collect data on with one of the students in the classroom and let them share? That's another thing to think about. Just because all of your students don't have access to something doesn't mean you can't allow one student to collect data for a group of students and then share. So it becomes all of theirs and they get excited to share the things that they have at home. This is a time like no other. How many of our kindergarten teachers have gotten stuck for 45 minutes when you talked about something that reminded one of the kindergartners about something they wanted to share, and then another one needed to share, and it turns into a sharing fest? This is the perfect time to let them really share all those things and get down to explanations that count. Half the time, sometimes I'd wouldn't know what they're talking about. And I'm just like shaking my head like, yes, but they can show you evidence now. They can say, well, tell us what you're talking about. And you can even implement procedures and routines for sharing. If there's something they've been collecting data on, to be able to share, you have to show us where you've collected data. You can't just talk about it. Show us where you've been drawing pictures or taking down observations. Show us the actual thing you're trying to share. Explain it. Help them let this be the time where they actually get to teach you more, because they have their home with them. They have all these things that they want to bring to school and tell you about. They're there. So it's the perfect time to collect data at home. And then finally, the one purpose of STEM and STEAM education that stands out to me is creativity. This is perfect for that. Why? Because we're having to get creative on how we teach, not in person. How can we make this work? Ask your kids to give you ideas. What do you think would work? And I know that this is going to be difficult, especially for things like keeping their attention, teaching reading skills, teaching simple math skills. So if you bring in the project element and they actually have that purpose for learning these skills, it will give you a better engagement in the long run. So let's get creative. Let them help you get creative. Figure out how to use all of these platforms. Find a way that makes it magical. And I would just really recommend short virtual times with something to do after, and then come back later. I don't know how a lot of you have been set up, but honestly, in my opinion, having a 1 hour block or a 45 minute block with a teacher virtually is just too long. I would much rather have a 15 minute block where I can make sure that everybody understood what I was asking them to do, how I was asking them to do it, and then let's disconnect, you go work on it, and I'm going to see you back at such and such time a couple of hours later. So it gives them a chance to go work on it in their own pace, you know, in their own little element, in a place where they feel comfortable, and come back with questions. Now, I know this isn't the perfect type of setting for school, but if you get creative, we can make it a better setting than ever, especially when we have time to plan now and you've had all summer to think about it. You may not have thought about it, but I know you're starting to. But now is the time. Really start figuring out how you're going to do this and be prepared ahead of time. So those are my 9 tips for virtual STEM and STEAM instruction. I am going to post them in the episode notes, and I have something to tell you about. If you would like continued support for STEM in a virtual format, I have a great membership offer for you. It is called the Steamed Up Teachers Club. And in that membership, you will be getting resources that are ready for you to use, some digital, some in PDF format. Many of them are STEAM challenges. Many of them are introducing the area of science, introducing the concept of engineering. So many resources. I can't tell you. I know there's at least 12 monthly STEAM challenges that you'll be getting. But in this membership, like, you get dripped information for August. You get video sessions on how to completely set up your STEM or STEAM classroom resources. Once this year is over, you will have every single resource that you need possible to have a successful STEM or STEAM classroom. Over 38 video sessions, a 1-hour PD certificate every month that you complete the entire module for that month. And for August, I included a teacher planner. A teacher planner. The price of the membership for the month of August is not even half the price of what you're paying for teacher planners right now. So if you go to, and I'll put a link in the episode notes, but you can go to my website, iHeartSTEAM.com. The banner is right across the top. And right now, if you use the code CLUBNOW, all capital letters, CLUBNOW, you can join with 10% off your membership fee. Now, this is just a membership, and if you don't like the membership because you want everything now, send me an email and I will tell you how you can get everything at once in a course format. I'm so glad you were here with me today. STEM is possible virtual. Hit me up with your questions. Like and leave a review for me. Thank you for being here. I Heart STEAM. Do you?